FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. We made it. We have made it. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website, 1700thechamp.com. You can listen to our show live if you're not in the radio. You can also download the app and do the same. Podcasts are on there, but you can go get podcasts wherever you pick them up. Lots going on today at 5 o'clock today. We have Maddie Nelson coming in, Wide Right Natty Light. Talk a little farming, talk a little drought, talk a little fall and winter, and then get into some Iowa Cyclone football and basketball and wrestling and just the overall state of ISU athletics. And then at 5:21, B-Styles coming in at his normal spot on Fridays to talk the world of sports. We're going to get some football in. We'll get some World Series in. It's kind of important, the old World Series, getting ready to be underway tonight. And, you know, it's one of those nights where I like some people on Houston. I like some people on Philadelphia. I don't necessarily like either team. I mean, I don't root for either team, but I have players I root for. So maybe one of those World Series is a lot more fun. In my life, the way things are, I mean, I watched 10 minutes of Baltimore-New England last night, or Baltimore-New England, Baltimore-Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay had a 10-0 lead, and I'm like, okay, I just, nobody's letting me watch my teams and have them win. So I didn't watch for the rest of the night. Watched a couple of movies, got done. Listen, I had it on my phone for like the last little bit of the game. As soon as they, you know, didn't get the two-point conversion, pretty much over, and there you go. So, it's a good win for Baltimore. I don't know what that means for Tampa Bay. You know, we'll talk about that in just a second here. So we had that game last night. We start tomorrow at 1 o'clock with UNI Southern Illinois. It's a pregame. Then we're going to jump to Ole Miss and Texas A&M. It's either going to be a 6 o'clock pregame or join in progress after UNI, depending on where you're at in the game, and if it's over and everything, they got everything done. Sunday, we're going to start Broncos-Jaguars at 8 a.m. They're playing in London. Bears-Cowboys at noon kickoff. No pregame because they'll run that other game right up to that. The 49ers-Rams are probably going to be joined in progress. And then Packers-Bills, a 7 o'clock pregame. And Bengals-Browns at 6:30. So we have all that going on. There you go. Sponsors of this show, Des Moines Orthopedic, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, Palmer Group. I think that's, and then also Come and Go and BetMGM, a big part of the program as well. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the game last night. We'll talk a little bit about the World Series starting tonight, too. I think baseball has had a really good postseason. I think people like the way the games were. I like having some extra teams with a three-game series at the beginning and then playing it out as they did. You get the Houston Astros, you get the Philadelphia Phillies. So you had, you know, it wasn't just chalk. Two very different teams, but a lot of energy from their fan bases. It's going to be fun. Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper. I put down here on my thing today, it was pretty cool. Bryce Harper, he gets it. I mean, he understands, you know, fandom and how to. He walked in today with a Mike Schmidt baseball jersey on. And that's not that's not a bad job out of him today. So it'll be fun to watch that. We'll talk a little bit about the Hawkeyes and Northwestern tomorrow, and then we'll talk with Maddie about Iowa State and Oklahoma, and we might talk a little bit about that before that as well. Oh, let's see here. Where do I? Let's start a little bit with the game last night. I think it was kind of overshadowed a little bit by the news you heard this morning that Tom Brady and Giselle they're already divorced. It's already finalized. Paperwork's already signed. Once again, the wealth in this country, you can do things quicker. I don't necessarily think that you can do everything that you want when you want, but you can do things quicker than some people can. A lot of what's been on the radio today is just fodder, right? That it's easy. If you're going to kick somebody, kick them when they're down. They don't kick back as quickly. I don't know if Tom Brady's that type of person. I think he'll kick back just fine. New England thought he was done. And he comes back and he plays. He gets a Super Bowl. They play well last year. They're a shell of their team. They have Tristan Wirfs is on the offensive line, and that's it from starters. So what people expected them, you know, so they are, let me make sure that I'm on the correct bandwagon here. Dun, 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 dun. They are now 3-4, or was that, let me check. Click there, click here. We're going to talk a little high school football today, too. Kind of looking forward to doing that a little bit, too. Playoffs start tonight. So that puts Tampa Bay at 3-5. Atlanta's in the lead in that division at 3-4. Okay, so let's take into consideration some of the things that have gotten them to 3-5. This is kind of the same way. There's a couple other teams too, Green Bay being one, Tampa Bay being the other, that their defenses, as you were slowly working in, especially from the offseason that the Green Bay Packers had, which they lost some players, Devontae Adams and some other players, didn't really replace them. And Tampa Bay had some injuries very early that they knew about. Like I said, he has one of his offensive linemen is there. He's been hit or miss the entire time with wide receivers, running backs. So in Tampa Bay's mind, the defense was going to help them. They played really good the first three games and have been a shell of themselves after that. I think the same thing was thought of in Green Bay that, okay, no Devontae Adams. We're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. We're going to work our way through, and we have our defense is going to carry us, and the defense has not carried them. Neither one of those two defenses that were thought to be two of the best defenses in the NFC in the National Football League have not played well, have not played to expectations, have not turned the ball over for easy things for the offense to do. Aaron Rodgers has taken way too many sacks, has fumbled a couple times, thrown some picks. Tom Brady's uncharacteristically thrown many picks too. Neither team can run the football consistently, and they just don't have weapons. And yesterday, and this can change, right? We talk about sports in the moment. That's why everything that we've said, listen, and I'll just to say this with both. The conversation that we're having about the University of Iowa is a conversation that's going to be had for the rest of the year. It doesn't mean that they're not going to win football games, and it doesn't mean that they're not going to go to a bowl game. Their schedule sets up to go to a bowl game. But you still have issues. Those issues are not going to go away. Next year, they're not playing Michigan. They're not playing Ohio State. I don't even think they play Penn State. So next year, it's going to be good too. These issues still don't go away. You have to get under 100 in offensive efficiency or even offensive stats to be able to compete for what people are expecting the University of Iowa to compete at. Well, those same things, go for Aaron Rodgers too. And here's the difference, because I heard a lot of people today talking in the similarities of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I think the only similarity between the two of them is they're both quarterbacks in the NFL, and they're both quarterbacks that have been there for a long time, and they're at the twilights of their careers and different. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to play to 44. I don't think that spiritually or any of those things that he likes to talk about would want him to do that for that long. But you have expectations. And that's the thing. Here's the thing that drives me crazy with talk radio shows on TV. They make up their own narratives. And this was with college football too, with the SEC and Paul Feinbaum and all those. They make up their own narratives to behoove what they want to push forward. Like, there are no other teams in college football that can do what seven of the teams in the SEC can. Well, we know that's not true. They make up the thing that, you know, if Tom Brady doesn't win every football game, then Tom Brady's lost the edge and he can't play anymore. If you had a healthy team somewhere, and there's a bunch of them. I mean, I'm looking at this, you know, depending on what Philadelphia, I think, is fine with their quarterback. The Giants are. Dallas is. Washington Commanders are not fine. You don't think that they would take Aaron Rodgers and or Tom Brady? I'm not so sure the Minnesota Vikings, even though they have Kirk Cousins and they're 5-1, wouldn't take one of the two of them. I think if the Bears continued down the path that they did the other night, I think they're not a team that's looking. Jared Goff, why would you not look? Atlanta doesn't have a quarterback. Carolina doesn't have a quarterback. New Orleans doesn't have a quarterback. Seattle has Geno Smith. That this could all be smoke and mirrors, or maybe Geno Smith's a better quarterback than we knew. The Rams have Matthew Stafford, who's hurt. San Francisco's not happy with their quarterbacks. They drafted Trey Lance. They have Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think they trust either one of them. Arizona has Kyler Murray. Do you really think that all those guys trust I don't trust the coaching staff more, and they don't trust the quarterback. I think Kansas City's set. I think the Chargers are set. I think Las Vegas is set. I thought Denver would be set for the next 5 years. Who knows? The Houston Texans are not set. Jacksonville is. Indianapolis is not. Tennessee is not. No matter what you want to think, and no matter how many times they win the South, because it's Houston, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis, and that's going to stop. Jacksonville's going to be a good football team, and Tennessee's not going to be winning that division all the time. Pittsburgh right now, I don't know if they have a quarterback. Who knows if Cleveland has a quarterback? Because who knows what Deshaun Watson is going to be like? Cincinnati has a quarterback. Baltimore has a quarterback. New England doesn't know if they have a quarterback. Miami thinks that they have their quarterback. I think the Jets think that they have their quarterback, and Buffalo has their quarterback. There's a lot of teams that don't think they have a quarterback that can compete. But when you put the expectations are, well, if they don't win 12 games, it's Tom Brady's fault. If you listen to this show long enough, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. One of the biggest things that I've had an issue with the Baltimore Ravens, sometimes John Harbaugh, the way he calls it, he's very conservative. And in that division, I think you do that. But once you get out of that division, you get into playoffs, you have to be able to flip that switch. And I don't know if he's able to do that. But he's stable, a lot of stability. But when you look at all these things that are going on, if you don't have a healthy football team, you can't win in this league. Buffalo is healthy. The New York Jets until the other day were healthy. Now let's see what they do. Baltimore is not healthy. Cincinnati is not healthy. Tennessee is not healthy. And that's not a very good decision. Kansas City's right now, they're healthy. The Chargers are not healthy. Philadelphia is currently pretty healthy. The Giants are pretty healthy. But you don't know what you have with the Giants either. Minnesota is healthy. Minnesota is the team in the National Football League right now that loves it. Nobody's talking about them. Nobody's bashing them. Nobody's putting them on a pedestal. Nobody's doing anything, and they're just winning football games. Green Bay, they're a mess. it's difficult. The Bears, I don't know where the Bears are after the other night. I did, but I don't know if that's New England or if that's the Bears having something better. I don't think Detroit's right. I think Detroit's getting ready to look for another head football coach and maybe another general manager because some of the things aren't working out. Atlanta's a mess. Tampa Bay's a mess. Having a defensive coordinator, even as good a defensive coordinator as he is, doesn't make you a good head coach. Carolina, they're looking for a coach. New Orleans, do you think Dennis Allen's going to keep that job? I don't. That's a defensive coordinator coming in. No. Pete Carroll, how long is Pete Carroll? I have no idea. The Rams aren't. Sean McVay's not going anywhere. Kyle Shanahan's not going anywhere. The Arizona Cardinals, and I mean, these are two teams right now that I think if they would get rid of their coaches, that their teams could overachieve and do a run. And I think that's the Arizona Cardinals, and I think it is the L.A. Chargers. I think those two teams can make a run. I don't know if Green Bay can make a run because I don't know. Number one, their schedule is extremely tough. We went through their schedule yesterday. I mean, what are they right now? They are 3-4, so they have 7 games. They have 10 games left. They have 4 games that are completely winnable, but you also thought that the Washington Commanders was winnable. You thought the Jets, that's winnable. Those were two winnable games. So you can't throw winnable games out there. And maybe you can have on the opposite side too, so maybe some of those games, they'll step up and they'll play better. The NFL is just all over the board right now. And if you tell me Buffalo is the best team and then Scott's right and Green Bay comes in and has an upset, then that throws the NFL topsy-turvy. And maybe that's what the NFL wants. Maybe that's what we want. You're listening to Steen on Sports. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700. Off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700, the champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Hope everybody had a great day. If you're heading home early on this Friday, be careful. Get home safe. Want to make sure everybody enjoys the weekend. This segment will be, well, I guess I should say who we are, right? I get so quick on this. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Bringing you your sports your way every day right here. Twitter's at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. We have Maddie Nelson coming in at 5 o'clock. We have B Styles coming in at 5:21 today. Looking forward to get to talk to both of those guys. This segment will be brought to you by Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month at Northwest Bank. Take some time and learn to be safe online. Northwest Bank is proud to be a champion and support this online safety education. Northwest Financial Group earns Top Workplace Award for the 8th year in a row from the Des Moines Register. Check out Northwest Bank mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Thank you very much for being part of the show. World Series games tonight. Looking forward to that. We have Iowa High School football. We'll talk about that in just a second. You have, I was going to see BYU, East Carolina, Florida International, Louisiana Tech in college football. NBA, pretty much a pretty full schedule. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games. So 22 of the teams out there. A lot of good games tonight. It's going to be fun to see some of these. Lakers are in Minnesota. That's going to be an interesting game. The Lakers not starting out the year like they would like. Have Russell Westbrook on their team, not knowing what to do. Oh, the problems. And, of course, the World Series starts tonight. Let me hit that one here as well to give you a pitching matchup. Dun, dun, dun. I know Justin Verlander is going for the Astros, and Aaron Nola is going for the Phillies. There's some offensive capability here between both of these teams. It's going to be fun to see. It's going to be a good series. You still have some Houston Astros. I mean, I'm a New York Yankee fan, and I've forgiven the Houston Astros. I mean, if you are naive enough to think that the Houston Astros are the only people that were cheating in Major League Baseball, or the National Football League, or the NBA, or college, or high school. Trust me, yeah, they're not. So get off that high horse. Some of the big news today. No Deebo Samuel for this weekend. We had some other ones too. Who had Deebo Samuel? Shaq Barrett tore his Achilles last night. Alan Lazard is out this weekend. Jamar Chase is out for 4 to 6 weeks. DK Metcalf is doubtful. That's kind of the major players. There's a lot of teams that are struggling. There's a lot of teams, you know, you have some teams that have had their bye already. There's some teams that are just dying to get to their bye week, to have some rest time to see if they can get back on track. I did see this yesterday, 2023 draft order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. These are the top 10 picks as they stand today. The Lions would be number one. Houston would be number two. Carolina would be number three. Houston gets another pick at number four. Seattle gets a pick at five. Philadelphia at six. Pittsburgh at seven. Jacksonville at 8, Las Vegas at 9, and New England at 10. One of the things that came out of the game last night, we're going to do two. I'm going to talk about Tom Brady first, and then I'm going to talk about some coaches on the hot seat. One of the things that was talked about last night on TV, it's a kind of a dangerous thing that we do as well, but they were talking about, is Tom Brady addicted to football? Is he addicted to having the power of playing football, the time it takes up in his life? Does he really think that if he doesn't have this, that he will not be able to function? And that's a really good question. I don't have the answer. I don't know Tom Brady. As much as his TB12 and all that stuff is out there, he's a pretty private guy. You don't know all the things that are going on. I think that's a really interesting question on you know, why. It's always easy. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I think he's 37. I think he's 10 years younger than I. You know, at 37, the why is not as big. At 40, whatever Tom Brady is, I'm not even sure. I'm going to say that I know that he's over Tom Brady age. He's 45 years old. So, I mean, I would love to tell you, I'm 57. Nope, I'm 56. I turned 57 in a week. I think it might be a week from today or yesterday. I don't know exactly what I was doing at age 45, but I guarantee you I wasn't thinking about playing a professional sport. It's amazing that he's able to do what he does. It's amazing how here's the fun part. It's amazing what he has been able to do with his mind and his body and melding them together to be able to be as active and as fit and all of that that he is at age 45. Now, he gives up a lot of things that I think a ton of us would not be able to do because of our unwillingness to like bad things for us. If that's alcohol, if it's chocolate, if it's, you know, whatever that smoking, whatever that vice is. He chose being a professional elite athlete. There's professional athletes, there's high school athletes, there's college athletes, there are professional athletes, and there are elite athletes. And he is an elite athlete. At 45 years old, to be still playing in the NFL, at 45 years old, I guarantee you there are three or four coaches in the NFL that aren't 45 years old. That is incredible. Just in that. He's 45 years old. He was married to a supermodel that is a billionaire. He's not doing bad for himself either. They have two kids. I mean, it's the whole thing. And he looks miserable, but I don't know if he's miserable. He's miserable because he's losing, because he's not used to losing. And it's the funny thing for me is that a lot of people are saying the reason that Giselle is mad at him is not because he went back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but because he went without speaking with her and was in talks with the Miami Dolphins to try to do something with the Miami Dolphins. And he did not bring her in on the conversation is the crux of what people are saying. I don't know what I think about that. I understand that. I understand that, you know, I think that in his mind, she has a business. He has a business. He doesn't mess in her business. Why she, you know, back and forth, whatever. But I don't think he's addicted to football, but I think he's addicted in being able to keep his mind and body occupied, and he doesn't know what he wants to do. I don't think calling football games is going to be enough. And I believe in my heart of hearts that he's going to be really, really good at it. Fitzmagic, love him. He says some things. He's not a big Tom Brady fan. Ryan Fitzpatrick as a professional athlete, he's no closer to Tom Brady than I am. And he can say what he wants. I mean, Tom Brady, if he wants to get in the booth and whenever he wants to get in, he's going to make more money than anybody because that's just the way it is. There's a difference between Tony Romo and Tom Brady. Tony Romo knows all these things and did that, but he wasn't a great quarterback. He was an okay quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick was I think Kurt Warner is better than both of them, Fitzpatrick and Tony Romo, and he's won. But Tom Brady brings a whole different distinction. What we all want to hear when Tom Brady gets older is, I want to know the insides of the New England Patriots. That's what I want to know. I think that is the interesting thing that he has in his mind is whose was it? Did they win all those Super Bowls because of you, or did they win all those Super Bowls because of Bill Belichick? And I think Tom Brady's at some point in time is going to be ready to tell that story. And I think if you put Robert Kraft on the lie detector test, he'd be able to tell you that story as well. We'll see how that goes. As we're moving along here, I had another, it's Friday, so it's kind of potpourri. I had another thing today saying, how would you evaluate right now between two of the youngest quarterbacks and one older and one younger that are actually getting ready to play. And one is Tua and Justin Herbert, and the other is Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen. Tua and Justin Herbert is a really exciting one, and it pulls in a lot of different ways. Coming out of college, Justin Herbert and Tua both, I think expectations were low because you just didn't know what you had. Justin Herbert didn't set the world on fire at Oregon. Maybe they just didn't have a good enough coaching staff to allow it. Tua didn't set the world on fire. I mean, he had all pro wide receivers at Alabama. He was small. I think people had concerns. That is a huge matchup. Who would you take right now? Straight up, who would you take right now? Before the concussions, I think that was easy. I think that's Tua. Now, it also would be for me that one has Mike McDaniel coaching them, and the other one has, I don't even like saying his name anymore. He is that overmatched, Brennan Staley. He is that overmatched in the NFL that he has no rhyme, reason, or right to be coaching. And if I see that and don't know all the ins and outs and everything of the National Football League, but I see the things that he does, and I see the things that he does that he's using analytics, but when they're proven wrong, he doesn't take responsibility. He doesn't take responsibility for the losses. He doesn't take responsibility for allowing Justin Herbert to get hit all the time. He doesn't take the responsibility of Justin Herbert having no rhyme or reason to be in a football game that they're getting destroyed in, injured, and saying, well, Justin didn't want to come out. He's a quarterback. He's a football player. That's your job. You are the manager of the football player. In these last 2 years, if the Los Angeles Chargers had Mike McDaniel, who's coaching the Miami Dolphins, as their head coach, or another offensive person being their head coach, I would hate to see what the NFL would look like, because the Chargers would be, I mean, Coach Staley at least cost them 4 to 5 games last year. And that's just, there was no shadow of a doubt. It was bad coaching, bad decisions, bad time management, bad clock management. Bad kicking or going for first downs when you're inside your own 40-yard line. I think that Tua was in a very difficult situation. I say this to Scott all the time. We talk about it all the time. If you have a defensive coordinator on your football staff and he is your head coach and your offensive coordinator does not have autonomy away from him, saying that I'm going to take care of the defense, you're going to take care of the offense, we're going to have each other's back. And I don't think that ever happens. I think if you have a defensive coordinator for your head coach, I think these owners need to reevaluate. Until the league changes, until defense becomes the way it was 15 years ago when it mattered if you had a defense, when you Baltimore Ravens and you can win without crossing the 50-yard line very often, then I think that's true. But it's not true. Man, these times go way too fast. I'm going to do some quick potpourri the next segment, and then we have Maddie Nelson coming in. We're going to talk Iowa State. Not just football, we're going to talk basketball as well, and wrestling. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. It's the last segment of this first hour. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ, and Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Oh, let's see here. What am I going to read this time? I'm eeny, meeny, miny, amo. Des Moines Orthopedic Center, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. They have 3 locations: 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213 in Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hip, knee, shoulder, sports med, sports rehab, sports trauma, and urgent injury. Des Moines Urgent Injury, DMOS Urgent Injury Clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times on demoss.com. West Des Moines hours Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Ankeny, Monday through Friday, 7 to 3, and Saturday from 8 to noon. The difference between urgent care and emergency room is the severity of the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, go to the emergency room. If the condition is a minor illness or injury, take advantage of the convenience and affordability of your urgent care has to offer. And new Des Moines Orthopedic is engineered performance by DMOTS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in central Iowa, making sure you're training the right way every day. 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. They also have locations in Grimes and Huxley, Des Moines Orthopedic. Okay, really quick. Let's see here. I have a little bit more potpourri here. My other one was you get to see this game. You get to see Aaron Rodgers, a Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the top 5 to 10, maybe better, quarterbacks in NFL history, going against Josh Allen, who is, we have one of those special times that are happening right now. You know, I'm trying to think of one of the bigger ones back in the day. You know, you had, you know, Joe Montana, you had Steve Young, you had Peyton Manning, you had Tom Brady. Right now in the NFL, and you may have some others jump in here, but right now you have, and they've had some of the best games in NFL history of the past 4 or 5 years, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Kind of alike, kind of different. The teams are kind of like, kind of different. But the one thing that they do, they win football games, and no matter who they have, And the Buffalo Bills took a step back and said, the one thing that we're missing that pressure person. What did they do? The Buffalo Bills went out and they got Von Miller. And that has changed the football team. The Kansas City Chiefs said, man, Tyreek Hill is unbelievable. Had a little bit of personal baggage, kind of not fitting in completely with the Kansas City way. And I think Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid said, okay, who's more important, Tyreek Hill or Patrick Mahomes? And I think they both chose Patrick Mahomes. I think they chose wisely. I think Tyreek Hill has done a great job. He is a great football player. And Patrick Mahomes now is you're seeing what Patrick Mahomes can do. Now, the only time that he hasn't been able to do it is because of Leslie Frazier, the Buffalo Bills. That's one of those great things. You have Sean McDermott in Buffalo, a defensive-minded coach. Ken Dorsey is his offensive coordinator, and he has Leslie Frazier. Leslie Frazier is a magnificent football coach. Another one of those defensive coordinators out there who took a flyer to try to get a head coaching job and it didn't work out, and he's back being a defensive coordinator. It's very difficult in a league that depends on offense, skews the rules and the penalties towards that way. He messed up Patrick Mahomes the last time they played him down in Kansas City. Not for the first three quarters, but he did in the fourth quarter. He changed the way he was going to do it. You get away with that once. Now you have to see if you can continue doing it. To have to game plan to stop a Josh Allen or stop a Patrick Mahomes, man, is that difficult. Both of them can, right when you think you're going to get a sack and you're going to change field position and you're going to get a punt, they run and get a first down. The two of them do it constantly. That is... I wouldn't want to pick between the two. I think they perform a little differently. But, man, are they fun to watch. Fun to watch. 2023 draft order. came out. I think I might have done that one already because the Lions have the Lions, Houston, Carolina, Houston. I did that earlier. It was the next one, and I might have did the wrong one. So hot seats in coaching in the NFL. That is one of those that is out there today, and probably for good reason. The first one up is Nathaniel Hackett. He is the Denver Broncos head coach. He currently is at 2-5. He's a defensive-minded coach. They've given up 115. They scored 100. Or he's an offensive coach. Sorry, they had a defensive coach. Cliff Kingsbury is another. He currently sits at 3-4. It's pretty iffy right now if he has the complete grasp of what he should be doing. The Chargers and Brandon Staley, they're 4-3. Defensive guy, they've given up 189. They've scored 164. It looks like Justin Herbert is regressing. I think he might be on the way out. Frank Reich with the Indianapolis Colts is 3-3-1. Struggling on the offensive side of the ball, and he's an offensive coach. Mike McCarthy, it will not die. The people in Dallas, they are equating what is happening of, we just have a really good football team, and this has nothing to do with Mike McCarthy. I have a hard time believing that. Mike McCarthy wins football games. He's always had a quarterback, I understand that, but he wins football games. The other's Ron Rivera. It's only a matter of time. The reason Ron Rivera, I think, Daniel Snyder knows that he pretty much doesn't have the capability of firing Ron Rivera. I think the NFL even comes down further on him for that, for of many reasons, but he doesn't have a good track record. Ron Rivera is a minority coaching candidate. I mean, a coaching person. But Ron Rivera, I mean, the Washington Commanders are not a good football team. They're 3-4. They have times where they are. Once again, my beef with Coach Rivera is not Coach Rivera. It's the fact that he's a defensive coordinator in an offensive league. I mean, once again, you can go down these. The New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles both have, the Eagles have no losses and the New York Giants have one. Both offensive-minded coaches. The Dallas Cowboys have two offensive coaches. Now Minnesota has one loss, offensive coaches. When you go up, Kansas City has two offensive coaches. Baltimore, three. Cincinnati, you have one offense. I mean, they're not playing it where they should be. The Buffalo Bills have one loss. The New York Jets have two losses. Robert Saleh is a defensive coach, but he has bought into the offensive side of the ball and using his defense to supplement the offense, knowing that they don't have enough talent on that team for one side of the ball to be able to control a game. The Miami Dolphins are 4-3. It's going to be fun to see what happens with their offensive-minded coach with Tua healthy. I just want Tua to be healthy. And he does not need to run 15 yards down the field and think that he needs to get 16 and put his head down again, ever. But that's kind of what you're looking at right now with all of the with all the things that are going on in the National Football League. Once again, the World Series is tonight. A full NBA slate. If you haven't been watching the NBA, the superstars are superstars. There's young stars that are becoming superstars. Everybody said, well, there's no way that Jokic can win another MVP or Luka Doncic can win another MVP. Yeah, watch them play basketball and see what they can do. You feel bad for LeBron James to a certain extent. LeBron James hooked up. He didn't have to hook up for as long as he did with the Lakers. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to hook up with Anthony Davis. He did that. There were other players for that amount of money that he could have tied his career to, and he, I think he's made some missteps, and he hadn't made missteps before that. He was always kind of ahead of the game. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. We have Maddie Nelson coming in. We have Cyclone Talk. It's football, it's basketball, women's and men's and wrestling coming up next.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 FM.